I want to begin by saying a word of thanks to Janet. It is indeed a blessing to see her here today with us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence, for we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we will always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, concluded a statement concerning the life of the disciple, and speaking, as we heard last week, about building bigger barns after tearing down our smaller barns, after amassing so much stuff and thinking to myself, "Self, I have nothing to fear. I have all that I need. I'll just tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store stuff in it, and I won't have anything to fear. I can eat and drink and be merry." And God says, "You fool. Your life is being demanded of you even this night. And what good will your stuff do?" After this story, after this presentation by Jesus, we have here Jesus continuing on that theme, but in several ways that will kind of take us for surprise today. Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another way of looking at this is to say that that which you treasure most will be that which has your greatest attention. If you treasure people, places, and things, nice cars, nice boats, nice trips, nice clothing, good things, if you treasure good things, and that is where you spend your time and your efforts and your energy and your money, then that is where your greatest attention will be. That is where your investment will be. That is where you will be. Where do you place your treasure? In yourself? In the things of this world? In the material possessions of life, in the stuff that we pile up in our barns? Or do we place our treasure in a purse that will not deteriorate, in a place that will not suffer financial collapse, as I said last week, in a market that will not become depressed, where no depression or recession can exist? Do we place our treasure in heaven, with God, in the kingdom of God, in the family of faith? Or do we place our treasure in ourselves? Jesus says very clearly, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? Is it in yourself? Is it in the things of this life? Is it in family, good things, family and country and education? and putting a roof over your head. Those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those. But is your treasure seated there? Or is your treasure truly seated with God? Look at your actions. Look at your words. Look at your how you spend your time and your talents and your gifts and your service. If you look in your life and you notice that you seem to be focused towards self and towards things, then Jesus may end up saying to you, "You fool, your life is being demanded of you this very evening. And what good are those things going to do you?" This week we saw an example of someone whose time, talents, gifts, and service was invested in the things of eternity, in the things of God, in the things of her own eternal soul, in a purse that cannot deteriorate. Her treasure was seated in Jesus. And Linda is, as I said on Thursday, playing that piano with the angel choir gathered around the throne, singing praises to God. Her treasure was seated not in the things of this life, but in the things of the next, in the things of eternity. We know where her heart was and is. It's with Jesus. If your treasure is in Jesus, as Linda's was, then you will be waiting for Him to come. He is coming, my friends, and as He said, at an unexpected hour. Take a look down here in Luke chapter 12. "Know this," He writes, and He speaks, as it is written in verse 39. "Know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." If someone tells you that Jesus is returning on September the 1st, 2004 at 4:40 in the afternoon Central Time, I will make you an absolute guarantee. I don't bet much anymore, but I do wager on sure things, and I will bet you that if someone tells you that Jesus is coming again on September the 1st, 2004 at 4:40 in the afternoon Central Time, I will bet you He ain't coming then. He is coming at an unexpected time. What Jesus is saying here in this story in the Gospel of Luke is, keep your lamps lit. Keep your armor ready. Be ready for action, it says. For you do not know when the Son of Man returns. You do not know when the bridegroom returns from the wedding feast. You do not know when He is coming back. And you should be found waiting, even if it's through midnight, through the dark hours of the night, through the trials and tribulations of this life, and on towards dawn. You should be found waiting and ready, for He is coming at an unexpected hour. It was an unexpected hour for Linda, my friends. But she was ready. She was ready. Are you? Are you ready? You know, I don't preach very many come to Jesus sermons. But I'm preaching one today, I find. It's not where my notes taken me, I don't care. Are you ready for that unexpected hour? People are sitting pontificating and speculating and thinking about the second coming of Jesus and looking down the road and thinking, okay, this has to happen, then that has to happen, then this other has to happen before He can come again. Oh, really? Jesus is coming at an unexpected hour. And as Jesus came at an unexpected hour for Linda, He may be coming at an He is coming at an unexpected hour for you. and for me. Will you be found watching and waiting? Will you be found ready for action? That's a military word, my friends. The passage here uses military language, as if you're talking about foot soldiers of a commanding officer who are ready and waiting for action, for military battle. They're ready and waiting in the midst of a war. For their commander to return. And Jesus asks us, are you ready? Are you ready for action? And I'm asking you today, are you ready? If you were to walk out of this building and get in your car and drive out on the road and get in an accident, would you be ready? If you were to go home this afternoon and eat some fried chicken and get a bone stuck in your throat, would you be ready? If you were to go to sleep tonight, if you were to say to yourself, self, I'm ready. I have all the stuff I need for this life. I don't need to work anymore. I can retire and eat and drink and be merry and have a wonderful time. And then go to sleep, and Jesus were to come for you, would you be ready? Would you be ready? If Jesus were to return on clouds of glory this afternoon to usher in the complete fruition of the kingdom of God, to usher in the total and absolute destruction of evil, would you be ready? If Jesus were to come for you today, what's your answer? We have people in this congregation who have lived lives of faith, waffling back and forth, walking by faith one day and by sight the next. We have people who have been away for a while. We have people whose faith has wavered and failed them. Where are you? And would you be ready when your commander returns? You see, Jesus is coming. We proclaim as a people of faith, we believe in the coming of our Lord, the second coming, His return. And we can all be assured of at least one thing, that He will return. And it may be when we walk out these doors and Jesus calls us individually home. Will you be ready? Have you lived your life, a life of faith, trusting in God's grace alone for salvation? Have you lived your life buried in His Word? Have you lived your life in prayer and in service to others, expressing the presence of Jesus in your life? Have you lived a life that others can look at and see Jesus is in charge of you? That was true for Linda. Is it true for you? If you look in your heart, you may find yourself thinking, no. If you find yourself thinking, no, you're in luck. You are graced by God. For you have an opportunity to make it a yes. And if you look in your life and you think to yourself, yes, I have nothing to worry about. I'm perfect in every way. There's a wonderful story about Henry Ward Beecher. He was a Calvinist preacher, and he was in the middle of a sermon at a Methodist church, no less. And in the middle of his sermon, he was talking about Methodists and how they believe that one day they'll be made perfect. And he said, is there anybody here who is perfect? This was about 100 years ago. Is there anybody here? You Methodists believe in perfection. Is there any Methodist here who's attained perfection? In the back of the sanctuary, this woman stood up. And he said, sister, are you perfect? And she said, no, but my husband's first wife was. None of us have attained perfection, my friends. We may be moving on towards it by the grace of God, moving on towards perfection by God's grace alone, but we're not there yet. You know, I was amazed at the turnout Thursday, at the people who came from all over the country, who came for Linda's funeral. It was a testimony, my friends, to the expression of God's love in her. And I'm going to tell you something. I think she would have been absolutely blown away by the sight of it. She had no idea how deeply she touched so many people. That was her humility, friends. That was the humility that she had that was born by the presence of God's grace in her life, a grace that she shared with all that she met. Are you ready? That's the question I have for you today. That's the question the gospel has for you today. Where is your treasure? Is it seated in yourself and what you do and all the things that you have and how you can take care of yourself and your family and your friends and your country? Or is it seated in Jesus? Are you ready? For He's coming at an unexpected hour. Are you ready for the return of Jesus for you? If you're not, or if you have some doubt in your heart, or if there's some situation in your life that is pinging in your heart and making life difficult for you today, if you feel a spiritual shortage, my friends, if you feel as though you are lacking in some way, I encourage you to take this moment in this service at this time to lay it before the Lord. To come forward and to kneel at this rail and to pray. Janet, could you please hit the piano and play something appropriate? I encourage you to come. This is an altar call, my friends. I don't give these very often, but I feel the need today. If you have something in your life that you need to turn over to Jesus, if you have something that's standing between you and being able to say yes, if you want to come and to praise God and to thank God for His grace and peace and strength and presence, I encourage you to come forward and to kneel at this rail and to praise Jesus and thank Him for His grace that enables you to come forward. I invite you to come now as Janet plays and to offer in prayer to God that which is standing in your way. And to thank Him for His saving grace that has called you here and called you to hit your knees. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, loving Lord, You have heard the prayers of those gathered at this altar. You have heard them, and You have showered now forth Your grace into their lives. I pray for each one that kneeled here, and for the many more who kneeled in their hearts in their pews. Bless each prayer. Bless each soul. Bless each need. And by Your almighty grace, overcome the powers and forces of darkness in each life. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of our Savior Jesus over this congregation. We bind the power of Satan in Jesus' name and by the authority of His blood. This is God's family. These are God's children. These are God's soldiers. And Satan, You've lost. In Jesus' name, we proclaim victory, healing, wholeness, righteousness, justice, and peace. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.